Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we continue our reflections on the Jesus of history or Jesus of the Gospels. In our last reflection, we saw the hymn sung by Mary, inspired by the Holy Spirit and by the experience of election and predilection of God. Now we come to the central event in the history of salvation, the birth of the Messiah. The birth of the Messiah is reported by Luke as well as Matthew. Today we concentrate on the report of Luke. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 to 20, we can read the entire report. Verses 1 to 7 is a report proper of the birth. Verses 8 to 14 is a proclamation by the angels and interpretation of the event given to the shepherds. In verses 15 to 20, we see a response to this proclamation, a response by the shepherds, by the hearers, and finally by Mary. Now we focus on the first part of this report, the birth proper. And this is being introduced with a historical note. But before we start reading and analyzing the report, we have to keep in mind that this is not going to be a chronological report. This is not like a press reporter narrating an event. Of course, Luke is presenting a historical event. A historical event that is he is interpreting in the light of faith. So Luke is telling us how God came into this world as the Redeemer, as the Savior. And this coming of the Savior into this world took place in a very concrete historical situation. And he relates that event to the world history and to a geographical location. So now let us read the first part of this report. Chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. This is the report of the birth of the Messiah. Luke is introducing the central event of history by relating that event to world history, telling that Emperor Augustus sent out an edict. Emperor Augustus was emperor in Rome from 27 BC to 14 AD. And this is a historical setting in which the birth of Jesus is presented. The edict concerning the registration or census is being disputed by scholars. In which year did this registration take place? And there are very confusing data and issues about this. We don't want to enter into the details of this particular date. It is said that this census was taken when Quirinius was governor in Syria. Palestine belonged to the province of Syria, Palestine was part of Syria, and the governor of Syria was responsible for the affairs in Palestine. But we know from other sources that at that time, Herod the Great was ruler in Palestine. Now, Herod is the local ruler, Quirinius is the governor, representative of Rome. They are taking a census. Rome was used to take census of the people. First of all, they wanted to know how many there are as subjects of Rome. In most of the provinces, they would recruit soldiers from the local population. But in Israel, in Palestine, they did not recruit any people to be a Roman soldier because of various reasons. The Jews did not accept the idols, and the Roman soldiers will have to carry the emblems of the king, and they will be asked to, they will have occasion to touch impure things, eat impure meat, meals, etc. Their dietary laws, their law of Sabbath, and many other religious laws would be a problem if he becomes a Roman soldier. So as a concession to the occupied forces of Palestine, the land of Palestine, the Romans gave them an exemption. They need not put up any military service. But all the same, they had to pay taxes. Now it seems the Roman authorities taking the census to fix the tax. How much money, how much tribute has Palestine to pay to the Roman treasure? Of course, we have seen that this was an occasion when a great rebellion broke out against the Romans. The taxation, the census, etc. were resented. Apart from this historical event, Luke is telling that the edict of Emperor Augustus was the occasion that made the birth of the Messiah in Bethlehem possible. If you follow the report of Luke, we see that the parents of Jesus, Mary and Joseph, were residents of Nazareth, a village in northern Galilee. And from Nazareth, they had to come to Bethlehem. Why? It is said that the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. And it's the tradition of the New Testament in Matthew as well as in John. And it's well known that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. But Jesus was also known as Jesus of Nazareth. Now, how is it that a person of Nazareth came to be born in Bethlehem? Luke is telling that because of the edict of Emperor Augustus, they had to go to Bethlehem because Joseph belonged to the house of David. And the house of the town of David was Bethlehem. So that time the Jews considered themselves as belonging not to the place where they live, but the place of origin. There's a permanent address, so to say. The address of the ancestors is considered as their true address, whereas they might be staying in another place, and these are only temporary stay. So Joseph had to go to Bethlehem in order to be registered. So the edict of Augustus somehow makes it possible for the Messiah to be born in Bethlehem. And this is a fulfillment of a prophecy. In the prophecy of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, we read, "But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days." The ruler of Israel will come from Bethlehem. So this promise is being fulfilled, and the emperor, through his edict, is making it possible. So they travel. Joseph with Mary travels to Bethlehem. The distance is about 125 kilometers. More or less the same distance as from Nazareth to Ein Karim. Ein Karim is about 7 kilometers southwest of Jerusalem. Bethlehem is about 7 kilometers southeast of Jerusalem. Mary made a journey from Nazareth to Ein Kerim to visit her cousin. Now they are making a travel, a journey from Nazareth to Jerusalem. This time she is traveling with her husband and she is fully pregnant. It is also important to note that neither Mary nor Joseph make any complaint. They just follow the instructions. It's not an easy way. These 125 kilometers of hills and valleys, crossing rivers and mountains. At this particular situation of a fully pregnant woman, it would have been really hard. And they would have had all the reasons to complain. But as Abraham of ancient times, they follow. They follow the instructions, not knowing exactly why this happens. It can happen in all our lives. God has his own ways of arranging our lives. We may not know why such a particular thing happens in our lives. Only much later we would realize that it was also in God's plan. So they travel. They travel to Bethlehem. And when they come to Bethlehem, they don't get a place to stay in. It is said, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. A few important points are being made by Luke in this small verse. First of all, the simplicity of the narration. She gave birth to her firstborn son. Without any qualification, without any paraphernalia. So a very simple statement of an extremely important event. The central event that transformed the history of the world, that changes BC to AD, that brings the salvation to this world, the decisive intervention of God in history is placed in such simple words. And it's also interesting to note the contrast between the birth of John the Baptist and of Jesus. Luke had made a comparison, a parallel report of the annunciation of the birth of John and of Jesus. He has also reported the encounter of the two would-be mothers. And then he has reported the birth of John the Baptist. Now the birth of Jesus is also being reported. When you compare the two reports, we see John is born in the house. They don't go anywhere. They don't have this long travel to make. And when John is born, all the relatives and neighbors come to congratulate, to praise God. And when Jesus, the Redeemer, is born, he is all alone, outside the town, with nobody except his parents. And he was laid in a manger, wrapped in bands of cloths. First of all, Luke is emphasizing the reality of incarnation. What John later would say, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Luke is giving much more plastic description. A child wrapped in swaddling clothes, a real human being, a helpless human being, child, and laid in a manger. We call it crib. The manger is the place where they keep the fodder, the hay for the cattle. Normally, people do not live in a cattle shed. But in Palestine, and especially in around Bethlehem, there were many caves. And these caves would be used both as cattle shed, as well as also residence for people. People would be living in the caves, part of the cave, in the inner side, and outside, and the outer part might be also occupied by cattle. So this is nothing exceptionally uncommon that the child was born in such a cave. And this cave is pointed out by tradition, and we have a basilica built over this cave in Bethlehem. And there it is written, Hic natus est Christus. Here is the Christ born. So it's written in the cave, and this is a place of pilgrimage from the ancient times when Constantine made a basilica to be built over this cave. What is more important is the term used, the manger, where food is kept. Jesus later on will say, I am the bread of life. I am the true bread that has come down from heaven in order to give you life. So the one who is to become the bread of life is now being laid on manger, on the place where food for the cattle is kept. And we know also the name Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread. So all concerns bread. God is giving bread. God is becoming bread for the life of the world. And this is taking place, the total isolation, loneliness, the darkness of a deep night. And this takes place outside the city. They laid him in a manger because it is said there was no place for them in the inn. They could have stayed in the inn, and that would have been the normal thing. But we don't know exactly why they did not have a place. Maybe the inns were crowded, or they did not have enough money to pay at the inn. Luke doesn't say the details, but one thing he says, there was no place for them at the inn. And by this we can also gather that these people, Joseph and Mary, were not somehow important in the society, who would be given a room at any rate. They did not have the importance, they did not have the influence in the society. There was nobody to welcome them. And nobody would have bothered where they went. And these are the people, the marginalized, the poor, the people who do not count in the eyes of the world. These are the people God has chosen to be his parents, the parents of his son, to be born as a man, as a human being. And here, thrown out of the town, without any place to lay his head, they come to a cave which is a refuge of animals, a cave where anybody can come in. There is no guard, there is no watchman, there is no security to keep guard over this place of birth. God comes out of the town to be born, to be one with us, to be identified with the weak, with the poor, with the homeless. Here we see the greatness of God who empties himself. In the letter to the Philippians, Paul is telling us something about this. This self-emptying love of God. Letter to the Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So here we see the kenotic process, the self-emptying of God. God who identifies himself with the homeless. Now nobody can say that God doesn't know our problems. He has identified, he has taken upon himself the sufferings of every human being. He is one with the homeless. And he has become the home for all. Anybody can come in. The reality of the incarnation could not be painted in starker terms. In order to commemorate this event of incarnation and the birth of the Messiah in the manger, it was Francis Assisi who invented the crib, the Christmas crib, which is now being presented in great decoration and luxury. And very often we forget that the crib or the manger was a sign of poverty, sign of lowliness and identification with the weak. Now let us thank God with a prayer for this act of incarnation. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son into our midst and allowing him to be born outside the town in a cave and be laid in a manger where we all can come. Thank you, Father, for this great gift. Enable us to understand the meaning of this self-emptying love of yours. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord.